You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
That's how we ended 2023 on Friday here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. Today, the start of a new year, I still don't know how to say the name of the song that is currently playing, Matt Jones. Do you?
It's what, Auld Lang Syne, right? To all acquaintance be forgot.
I think you're right on that. I could sing a couple bars of it. I could not get to the point where they say, for Auld Lang Syne. Auld, or is it Auld? I don't know.
It's Auld. It's A-U-L-D. By the way, I want to thank the folks that did this show and asked me to do it, because New Year's Eve, Courtney, has been the worst holiday of my life over time. I was broken up with on New Year's Eve. I bailed a friend out of jail one time on New Year's Eve. And I also was at a rehab one. Not, I wasn't at rehab. I was visiting someone on New Year's Eve. So getting out of New Year's Eve was the best thing possible. So thank you to ESPN for having me do that.
Yeah. For all of you who might be like stumbling in right now, I mean, I know that it is like
Can't be many listening or watching right now.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We're glad that you're spending your morning with us here, the first of the new year, on ESPN Radio and ESPN2, Unsportsmanlike, as always, presented by our good friends over at Progressive Insurance. You've got Courtney Cronin, Matt Jones sitting in for Evan Canty and Michelle. They will be back tomorrow to break down all of the national championship implications in the CFP semifinals that we get today. Later on our airwaves, coverage beginning 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. But there's so much to get to from the week 17 slate of the NFL season. The games, if you're just waking up right now, the slate for week 18 is finally set, about a 50-50 split between those 1 p.m. games and the 4:25 games, followed by the race for the AFC East between Buffalo and Miami. That is Sunday Night Football next week. But let's start with the Miami Dolphins, as we just talked about, the team that they played yesterday, the Baltimore Ravens, a 56-19 final for Baltimore, a day where Lamar Jackson has no problem carving up this defense that was the best scoring defense in the NFL. He throws for 321 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, adds 35 yards on the ground, and adds to his MVP campaign in helping Baltimore lock up the number one overall seed. We know that this MVP race, Matt, throughout the month of December, a lot of jockeying for positioning. At first it was Dak Prescott, and then it was Brock Purdy. Now it's Lamar Jackson, who looks like he's about to run away with his second award. And I think it just goes to show that this can change a lot. Last year we didn't have that. We had Jalen Hurts, we had Patrick Mahomes thundering down the stretch, a two-person race until Hurts ends up getting hurt and missing those final few games of the regular season, and Mahomes ends up winning his second MVP. This, to me, has made it more exciting that we have seen three different quarterbacks, and you can throw Christian McCaffrey in the mix there too, but three quarterbacks as the front runners in the month of December alone. And at this point, I know with 1 week of the season left, there's not much time, but this is Lamar Jackson's to lose, and this may be a better season for him than when he won it the first time in 2019.
Oh, it definitely is. This is the best Lamar's ever played. I mean, this is the Lamar on the NFL level that he was in college, which was a guy who could do everything. And then in the NFL, at first, you didn't necessarily see the passing component quite as much, and now you are, and he's playing amazing. The MVP thing is like a group think. That's what happens with this stuff. It's just everybody moves as a group over and over, rather than I've actually thought Lamar was the MVP since at least like week 7, because there's no team that changes more with or without a player than Lamar. He is the offense. He is the whole thing that drives it. And I give the kid a lot of credit. I've known him since he was a sophomore in college, and he's always believed on himself in a level that other people have not. And what I like about this is you could make a strong argument going into this season that really nobody on any team valued him the way they should. The Ravens didn't want to pay him as an elite quarterback, and other teams didn't want to trade for him. And now they would, and he went out and did it. So I have a ton of respect for that kid, always have. He's not only the MVP, I think he has been, over the last 7 years, next to Mahomes, the best player in the NFL. And Courtney, I just don't think people have ever given him that credit and respect, and I'm glad to see him getting it this year.
You brought up Week 7, and that made me think back to their game against the Detroit Lions. When we do, I write our MVP file at ESPN.com. We put it out every 3 to 4 weeks in the season. We'll be doing it after Week 18. And I assume at this point that this is his award to win. But we pick out MVP moments. And to me, that came Week 7 when he gets this offense off to a 28-0 start against the Detroit Lions, who at that point were
thunderous. Looked great. They looked like a defensive juggernaut.
They were a 5-1 team. They came into Baltimore looking like they were going to just stomp the light out of the Baltimore Ravens. That wasn't the case at all, because Lamar orchestrated a multifaceted attack that has remained consistent throughout the season, even when the weapons around him haven't been consistent. We've talked so much about Patrick Mahomes and his offensive weapons, his wide receivers, failing him in those big moments where they're not coming up on the receiving end of very easy passes that have been put into their hands. We don't give Lamar Jackson, for some reason, that same sort of credence, to where if Zay Flowers is having an off night, if they're not getting contributions from Justice Hill, if they're having to rely, you know, on a catch here or there from Odell Beckham Jr., which, again, he had one yesterday that was really impressive, but they're not getting consistent production out of him, Lamar's still able to put the offense on his back and get his team in position where he's going toe-to-toe with two of the best offenses in the NFL in back-to-back weeks. 33 points on the road against the San Francisco 49ers. 56. I'm going to tell you that again. 56 points, a season high in scoring for the Baltimore Ravens when Lamar Jackson throws 5 touchdowns. He's not doing it the way of old when he was the unanimous MVP in 2019, where he set the single season quarterback rushing record. He's still a dynamic threat with his legs. No one will ever take that away from him. There's two quarterbacks, Matt, in the NFL that can do that. It's Justin Fields and it's Lamar Jackson. And Lamar does it at a level that is different from anything we've ever seen. But watching him develop as a passer this year, after everything we heard throughout the offseason about installing a new offense, maybe there were some lumps here and there that they had to take as they worked through this, you've watched the development of Lamar Jackson over the course of the season. And to watch him, like, if you took him off this team, is this team the number one seed in the AFC?
No, it's not. This team doesn't even make the playoffs without him. I mean, he is a completely different superstar. And I think what has happened is there were a lot of people. He was the ushering in of a new era of NFL quarterbacks. There will never be a pocket doesn't move quarterback again. At least one at an elite level. There just won't. And he is the first guy that sort of, well, he's not the first, but he was the major guy in that transition. I still remember hosting the NFL pregame show, the very first radio show Dan Orlovsky did with ESPN, and Orlovsky was saying he's not an NFL quarterback. I remember Dan. I'm still giving you a hard time about it. But the reason he thought that was we just hadn't seen guys like him succeed. And now there's a whole generation like Justin Fields who are able to be given the benefit of the doubt that he was not given. And so I actually think it has taken to year 6 or 7 for him that people finally accept that what Lamar is what quarterbacks are now. That is what a quarterback in the NFL is, exactly what Lamar is. And it didn't feel like that when he came in. He is the dude who has suffered so that a Justin Fields can get picked and people give him the benefit of the doubt. I think that's partially why he's one of the most impressive players in the league. And Courtney, I'm a Kentucky guy. He's a Louisville guy. I hate Louisville with a passion, but I still love Lamar because I think he's just on a whole nother level.
It's unsportsmanlike. He's Matt Jones, Courtney Cronin, sitting in for Evan Canty and Michelle on this January 1st morning. Happy New Year to you and yours. The show, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. You go back to that time, though. That's 2018. That's not that long ago.
I know.
And what we've learned since then, which we already should have known, it's like if you have a one-dimensional threat, you make it easier for defenses to beat you. As passing offenses, as offenses in general, have evolved in the NFL, that dual threat capability that Lamar Jackson ushered into the NFL in ways that we honestly had not seen since Michael Vick, that athleticism combined with how good of a passer he is. And he needed to hone that skill set. He wasn't going to do it in Gus Bradley's offense. He is now able to do it in Todd Monken's offense. And there's a reason that during the game yesterday, the 56-19 win that they had over the Miami Dolphins, you saw so many shots of Todd Monken, the former Georgia offensive coordinator, up in the booth. It's because he's built something for Lamar Jackson that's getting every last drop out of his skill set. And that's helping the Baltimore Ravens to where they are right now, the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. So the road to the Super Bowl goes through Baltimore this year. Lamar Jackson following the game. We know we're talking about MVP. We know we're talking about the win. But here's what he had to say about the importance of what it meant for their playoff hopes, which will, for them, will begin in the divisional round.
It was very important. You know, we had a lot of guys, you know, banged up, you know, nipped up with injuries, guys who couldn't play. We had guys who stepped up, knew the situation, and they played lights out, you know, all phases. We all knew it was important for us to get this win, and we did just that.
So we won't likely see Lamar Jackson or really anybody else next week when they have the Steelers in their finale because they have clinched home field advantage. They've clinched the number one seed. So again, like, they don't start playing until the second week of the postseason since they'll be playing in that divisional round. I know that you and I are differing of opinion here, though. Like, do you think this could actually hinder the Ravens?
Well,
that little
hinders.
Bit of drop, the time off that they would have?
I don't think it hinders, but I do think, though, you do have to be careful when you essentially, if you're going to give Lamar off this week, which I think you should, then there's going to be 3 weeks in between him playing. And I do think that's something that matters. Now, you know, there are teams that have made it work, but I think you are more vulnerable to an upset. Again, let's go through what the bracket is likely to be. If you're going to be the one seed, let's just assume the 2 and the 3 both win, which will be the winner of the AFC East and the Chiefs. You're going to then, in your first playoff game, probably play the loser of the AFC East, which will either be the Dolphins or Bills. So the Dolphins and Bills will play each other. The loser of that game is probably going to open up your playoffs against Baltimore. Those are two pretty good teams. Now, I know you just crushed the Dolphins, so you probably feel good about it. But I do think it's important to understand you're going to have Lamar 3 weeks having not played, all of a sudden seeing likely the Dolphins or the Bills. That's a tough game to start the playoffs off. So it's just something to watch as you watch these playoffs develop over the next few weeks.
Who would you want to face less if you are Baltimore?
Yeah, that's
in
that AFC
East showdown that we have on Sunday Night Football, that's the last game of the regular season between the Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. That'll decide who ends up getting the, you know, likely to be the 2 seed in the AFC playoff picture, who ends up as a 6 seed, which currently Miami's the 2, Buffalo's the 6. I know that Buffalo had a close-ish game, a one-possession game that they end up, one-score game that they end up winning yesterday against New England Patriots. They've had some close games as of late. To me, they are the most dangerous team in this AFC playoff picture.
Yeah, I mean, I guess looking at it, the Ravens would get either the Browns, the Dolphins, or the Bills. If I'm them, I'd rather play, of all those teams, the Dolphins, because I just think the Dolphins are the Ravens but worse, whereas the Browns and the Bills would play them much more physical, especially the Browns. I'd probably want the Browns the least of that group if I was them, just because of the way they play defensively. The AFC, though, is what's amazing about it. Let's say the Dolphins beat the Bills, and the Dolphins are the 2 and the Chiefs are the 3. You could make an argument that the 5 and the 6, the Browns and the Bills, would be better than the 2 and the 3. That rarely happens, but I think it could happen this year.
Yeah. We'll leave it here. There's plenty more to get into with the AFC playoff picture, but you're right. The Cleveland Browns, who just locked up their third postseason bid since 1999 when they beat the Jets on Thursday Night Football, they're a dangerous team that not many are going to want to face in the month of January. Straight ahead here on Unsportsmanlike, Courtney Cronin, Matt Jones sitting in for Evan Canty and Michelle on this January 1st morning. Does the NFL need more accountability from officials? We discuss next here, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The agony of defeat for the Detroit Lions following a botched two-point conversion call at the hand of officials. They called illegal touching because of a he said about reporting as the eligible lineman. The call there, courtesy 105.3 The Fan. And the course correct that Saturday night blunder had on the NFL yesterday. I'm Courtney Kern, and he's Matt Jones. I cover the Chicago Bears for ESPN's NFL Nation. The game that I was at yesterday between the Falcons and the Bears, the head official, every time there was a lineman reporting as eligible, said it three separate times. And there was always a little added emphasis on number 75 is reporting as eligible. 75 reporting as eligible. Like, he kept saying it to the point where you could tell that this was clearly a course correct. So he didn't end up in the same situation that Brad Allen did with his staff on Saturday night's game between the Lions and the Cowboys. Dallas ends up winning 20-19, and it's not without controversy, whether it's Mike McCarthy and some clock management that gets bailed out because of the officials. But here we are again, Matt, on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. It's New Year's Day. We should be talking about a great slate of Week 17 games and the results and the outcome of those games in the NFL. But once again, we're left talking about officials who have no accountability, who haven't said a darn word about this in the last 24 hours. And I guess the NFL just expects that it's going to gloss over and we're going to move on to the next thing. Because the lack of action, the silence, would lead you to believe they're like, all right, it'll smooth over eventually. They'll move on to the next thing until we inevitably have the next referee blunder.
Well, I mean, they're right, though. We will all move on because the league is built to sort of, you know, cover this stuff up. The only my problem with, look, the NFL does a lot of things really well. The thing it does imperfectly is it never will admit mistakes, and they consider officials sort of part of that group of people that must be protected at all costs. Officials are grown men and women, and they mess up. And this dude, Allen, clearly messed up. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy, but he thought one guy was the one that declared eligible, and it was the other one. Just say that. They won't say that. And then Dan Campbell can't even complain about it because he knows he'll get fined because this is like a regime from the, you know, 1720s where if you say the wrong thing, the government will come down upon you and send you to the gulag. Like, I have to say, I don't understand this idea that, like, officials are the one group of people on earth that you can't say are wrong. But that's the way the NFL's done it, and the NFL does it in a way that no other league does. He messed up. There's no debate. He messed up. He thought the guy was declaring eligible. It was a different guy. He got baffled. It is what it is. But I would argue, Courtney, that what should happen to officials is they should be suspended. Mm-hmm. Coaches are suspended when they make up or when they mess up. Players are suspended. Officials should be as well. Everybody else in this world has accountability. Officials do not.
The topic of conversation around how do you fix officiating and all of the issues that we've seen the last couple of years, controversial calls, no calls, so on and so forth, with NFL officials, always seems to center around, well, the NFL should make them full-time employees.
What does that do?
See, that's my thing. And for those who don't know, like, I don't know, I guess it's not common fact, because when I was hosting with Peter Burns yesterday on ESPN Radio on Best Week Ever, we had a lot of people like comment, like, I didn't know that officials were not full-time employees of the league. These are people who have lives outside of their NFL bubble, that they have jobs outside of the NFL bubble. Of course, the easiest thing to do would be to put them on the payroll, have their W-2 read NFL at the end of the year.
But how would that help? But
that's the thing, because I feel like that's a very convenient scapegoat to a bigger issue at hand here, which is human error, and that doesn't go away whether you are a full-time employee of the NFL or not. So I wanted to ask you people listening right now on Sportsmanlike on New Year's Day, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, that's Dr. Pepper call-in line number. How do we fix this? Because simply making them full-time employees doesn't take away from the element of human error, which I honestly feel like is what happened here with Brad Allen. He's getting called a liar. He's getting called a million worse names than that. But I believe that if what Dan Campbell told us, this is you go up to the officials before the game, you let them know, hey, we might run this trick play, we might have an extra lineman on the field, just making you aware of it. And then he doesn't remember 3 hours later in the heat of the moment, even though we clearly see him look at Taylor Decker, number 68, not number 70, and reporting is eligible. Then that stuff happens. It's okay to have a brain fart, but then the accountability element, which is null and void at this point, it was nowhere to be seen. That's the problem that I have with the NFL. So I don't know how you fix it if there can't be that accountability.
Can I give a solution?
Yes, suspend of course, them. By all means.
That's what you do. Suspend them and then give bonus. Like, treat it like any other job in the world, which is when you do well, you get paid more, and when you do not, you get paid less. As you move up the charts as you're good, you move down the charts as you're bad, and if you continue to perform poorly, you are replaced. That's what we would do in any other job. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't care if they're full-time or not, but do we really need to make them full-time if they work 18 days a year? What in the world does that do? If you want to do it, have at it. It's not my money. I don't care if you make them full-time, but that's not going to solve the problem. The problem is accountability. I would say make it to where the people that most consistently get the call right are paid higher than the rest, and then it works. The problem is we treat officials differently than we treat everything else in life. Success or failure is irrelevant. Whether they're good or bad at their job is irrelevant. It's just whether or not they do it long enough, they get more money. You want to make it work? Make it part of the same system that we use everywhere else in the world to decide who has merit and who doesn't. Officials don't, and the result you get is what you get.
The only incentive they have to not get things wrong right now is that you'll get playoff games taken away from your crew if you end up screwing up. And, you know, to your point on a suspension, if there's any crew that would probably deserve it, it's Brad Allen's. What happened in Dallas is not the only time that we've seen his crew at the center of controversy. Go back to that non-DPI call at the end of the Chiefs-Packers game at Lambeau Field, where Marquez Valdes-Scantling has a defender draped over him on a pass that went incomplete, should have drawn DPI, and that one ends up going away. Nothing happens. Chiefs go on to lose that game.
And that
last week,
still,
there's another one, too. There's another one, too. Brad Allen, there was a roughing call on Justin Fields. You remember that? That was 2 weeks ago against the Cleveland Browns. That screwed the Bears out of a critical field goal position. Za'Darius Smith later gets fined for that hit. That's another missed call. Like, if you can keep pointing to these, is for casual fans, for someone like myself, to be able to keep track of your mistakes as a professional, then that should mean something. That should mean that there's some sort of penalty for your inaction in those moments and your inability to get those calls right. I don't know why it's so hard, though, for the NFL to go out and say, well, we're going to suspend this crew, to give some sort of reprimand for what they did, because maybe they don't feel they have enough other crews to go out and, like, do the job and replace them. I don't know. It's kind of a lame excuse if that's the reasoning.
That's not an excuse. There are plenty of officials around the country. You're exactly right about that group. And guess what? They ended up getting a primetime game with two of the best teams in the league the next week. So the issue is they don't have any accountability. As a matter of fact, it would not surprise me if this group that's had all these mistakes, if they give them a playoff game just to show people that they can't be pushed around. I will not be shocked if we see that crew that's had these high-profile mistakes in a playoff game, because that's the arrogance that the league has on these things. If I had a crew that had made the mistakes you said, would I give them a standalone Dallas-Detroit game? Of course not. But they did, and that shows that they don't care what anyone makes about these criticisms. It almost motivates them to go to the other way.
All right, we'll leave it here. I see your calls, Lee, Richard, and Jeff on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Hang on, we're going to get your takes on how we can fix this. I think Matt has a good solution here. It might be the only solution, because if you take something away from somebody, usually that's incentive enough to get them to, you know, do right and fix their mistakes. Until the NFL does that, though, until there's any sort of actual culpability, you're probably going to keep seeing these things pop up. But we're going to get your calls on the Dr. Pepper call-in line coming up in a bit, but straight ahead. The CFP semifinals are in a matter of hours. What does college football need to do to make sure that these games will matter from here on out, as they always do? There's a lot of talk about bowl game season. We're going to talk with someone about that next and his ideas for college football going forward on Sportsmanlike, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan, Canty, and Michelle are Unsportsmanlike.
Happy New Year. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Courtney Cronin, Matt Jones, sitting in for Evan, Canty, and Michelle on this Monday morning. They will be back tomorrow, but you've got us for the next couple of hours, and we have you here on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Help us fix the officiating issue in the NFL. Obviously, it's magnified today because of what happened Saturday, Matt, with the illegal touching call and the two-point conversion because of a he said when it comes to referee Brad Allen, and then Taylor Decker and the other eligible lineman, number 70, whose name escapes me right now, for the Detroit Lions.
Dan Skipper.
So both of them said that they reported correctly. The officials said they did not. And of course, today we're left picking up the pieces while the officials, still to this date, it's been more than 24 hours, haven't heard a word from the NFL or from them taking any accountability for the call and what happened or did not happen. But we want to know from you. Matt has a great suggestion. Maybe they suspend refs when things like this happen and they blatantly get calls wrong. What would you suggest? Let's start out with Lee in Dallas. Lee, you're on Unsportsmanlike. Where is the solution here for some of these officiating blunders?
I mean, okay, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm glad they won. But I just say, you know, some of this stuff is just, you know, human error. I mean, we saw what happened when we had
Let me ask you a question. Lee, would you have felt the same way if the Cowboys lost? Like, it's easy to say now it's human error because your team won, Lee. What if you lost? Would you feel the same way?
I mean, it's part of the game. You gotta. We can't forget when Dan.
So is that when that's what you do when your team loses? You just go, well, that happens. I know you, Lee.
Well, I can hear it in your voice.
You'd have been upset. Am I right?
Okay, but the way I look at it, we have to look at it. This is a game. It's more. But I mean, if you really want to fix some of these problems, do you want to have instant replay out? Because I mean, if you watch the game, there's so many calls that can every play you can call hold it. Is the receiver really on the line? But in this situation with him not reporting, make it to where you have a flag that's thrown out that the coach throws so we know that, okay.
Courtney, that sounds like, Courtney, this is a Cowboys fan that's trying to excuse the win. I can hear it in his voice. Am I right, Lee?
Frankly.
Lee's acting, you're just happy you won. Just admit you're happy you won so you don't think there's anything wrong.
With Dez in 2014, that was a catch. But, life goes Cowboys on, but fans. It was confirmed. I wasn't happy about it, but at the end of the day, it's a game. Like, I mean, do you want to just find refs every time they mess up.
Lee, we appreciate the call. I mean, you bring up some good points. Does every mistake, because there are those in my mentions right now saying, oh, well, they missed a tripping call earlier in the game, and that could have changed, a specific drive. Like, does every mistake have to be accounted for? Like,
yes.
Human error is part of the game. Like, we signed up for that as fans. Like, we signed up for that.
But
unless
you
have robot umpires out there, that part of the game's not going to be.
But when players have error, their contracts will reflect that in the future. Kadarius Toney's contracts are not going to be the same in the future because of what? Human error. Because he makes mistakes. Officials have no accountability. Do I think they ought to take things out of each paycheck based on the mistakes? No. But I do think officials can say, okay, next year we're paying you X because of your performance the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Players have it. Coaches have it. Courtney, broadcasters have it. You get ratings, you get a paycheck. Officials have nothing that suggests they have to do their job right. Yes. So the answer is, would I fine them? Yes. Now, you may not fine them that year, but your next deal, the best umps or best officials should get more money than the rest.
Well, and to your point, players do get fined if there's unsportsmanlike contact, if it's a roughing the passer call against them, like for those sorts of things, late hits, so on and so forth. There is no equivalent for that in the officiating world. I don't know if I'd want, I think the culmination of everything, being able to see, especially if it's a non-call or a call that ends up affecting a drive, like sometimes things will be missed. There will be holds that are missed here and there. But like weighing that versus something that's called that may end up changing the trajectory of a game, that's a different conversation. Now, how they would end up being
able to... Would you be okay with
officials,
Courtney, being paid different amounts of money? Like, I'm fine with it, but would
you
be okay
with it? In incentivizing what they...
Yeah, just saying, like, these are our best officials. We pay them more than we pay these officials.
And I would hope that that group of officials would not have the amount of errors that some of these other crews do. But you brought it up earlier. Brad Allen and his group, who... They missed the late hit on Justin Fields against Cleveland. Za'Darius Smith ended up being fined for that hit later on. So very clearly the NFL wrote the wrongs of the officiating crew, and that took the Bears out of field goal contention. They screw up the non-DPI call, Chiefs and Packers a couple weeks ago. Chiefs end up losing that game. They get rewarded with a primetime game that ends up having major playoff implications on it. So I can't understand the logic that continues to go through the NFL as they schedule out these officials. It's almost like they're telling us as fans and consumers, we're going to continue to push this thing through because your opinions on this do not matter. Because
so are you okay with them getting paid different
okay
amounts
of
money?
I'm not okay with them getting paid different amounts of money. If it means that we have a better crew for bigger games where we're not going to be talking about the playoff implications and what this may have taken a team out of, then yeah, I do think that there should be a wage scale, and obviously experience and stuff like that factors in too. There's bonuses too for if you go to the playoffs and you're like part of an officiating crew, that plays into your finances, and obviously there's the incentive there
for
to
the
not
biggest
get things
games,
wrong.
For the biggest games, Courtney, we put the best announcers, right? Or at least the announcers that are the highest profile. For the biggest games, you end up putting them on the primetime slots. Why can't we make it to where the officials that are the best get the biggest games, get the most money, and give them an incentive to succeed? We don't do that, and we get the results that we pay for.
All right, Richard in Texas, you're on ESPN Radio. Give us an actual solution. If you're a Cowboys fan and want to talk your way out of this, we want to hear an actual solution here. You've got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you all. Actually, my man just had it perfect. I agree with you. They should fine them, give them a pay scale. It's just like your job, my job. I have to earn my pay. I have to earn my raise every
Tell
year.
Tell them about it.
They screw
That's exactly
up.
Exactly right.
Blatantly, it's been too many. I'm a Bengal fan. I'm an NFL fan first, though. It has nothing to do with the Cowboys. I don't like what happened to New Orleans. When it's blatant, fine them. Don't give them no games.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line.
That's my man. See, Courtney, a lot of it, I told you, the people are intelligent. You go to Richard in Texas, you end up with the right decision.
Good call, Richard. We appreciate that. And like when he brought up, he's bringing up New Orleans again in the NFC Championship game, which, of course, that the pass interference call that was not called in that moment brings, you know, that's one of the first things I think of. How come they can't just reverse the call in the moment, like in watching it back and realizing, hey, we screwed up. We need to, like, this was human error in that moment. We saw it. We called the wrong thing. Before we go any further, like, there can be a stoppage to determine for getting a call from New York, getting a call from whomever, mm-hmm. the sky judge that we've talked about, but for some reason that doesn't seem to be a solution that the NFL finds acceptable. Why can't we just take a beat and wait to get it right? Like, that's... It just feels like we have such an urgency to, like, finish the game and to, like, all right, we'll deal with the fallout from this call at a later date. And that ends up creating more problems for the sport, where if we just all, in that moment, those who were in charge of making sure the call was right or wrong, have a chance to review it and get it right there, or also get input if they need it. Like, why is that never brought onto the
because
table?
Because the ethos of the NFL is never apologize. The ethos of the NFL is we've never done anything wrong because we're the NFL. I keep saying this. They are like an old school dictator. They just believe if the state says it, it's never wrong. For the NFL, what you just said is exactly right. Why can't we just fix it? Because in their minds, they don't screw up because they do it. It is sort of embodied in what the ethos of the NFL is to never make a mistake. And again, you end up with results like we had Saturday.
And the mistakes keep happening. They will keep happening and they will keep happening. Human error is not avoidable, but the responsibility and the culpability that the league could show here would probably be much appreciated by NFL fans. I don't know if it would end up getting people to all of a sudden forgive officials in those moments. Not that we're asking for that, and they shouldn't be asking for that either, but it would go a long way in protecting the integrity of the sport itself, because right now it certainly looks like it's lacking that given the NFL silence. All right, Matt and I are over this. Pat Costello, our producer, is going to tell you what's grinding his gears on this New Year's Day coming up next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
So this is the portion of Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio and ESPN2 where we give the floor to Pat Costello, our producer, to let him gripe about whatever he wants to gripe about. But Matt, I know you have something on your mind first that I want to let you have the floor now before we hand it over to Pat.
I just want to show the world that people can, of all different types, can get along. I can't see this because this is in my house, but I'm here, Courtney. Behind you is an Indiana basketball. Is that right?
It is. It's right over on this side of my bookshelf.
All right, yeah, and then
right
for
in the middle
me,
of the
behind
shot.
Me, this is a Kentucky Maker's Mark basketball, which hopefully they're showing on television. So I just want people to understand Kentucky and Indiana, a traditional basketball rivalry that is heated and intense in college basketball. You went to Indiana. I cover Kentucky. We could still come together, and we both care enough that we still have basketballs in our background for our your alma mater, my favorite team. I just think that's great. It shows even in all this harsh times in the new year, two rivals can come together.
And we can all hold the same stance that NFL officials get off scot-free far too often and deserve to be held accountable. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, Pat, fire it up. We have so much to get into from the course of the last couple of days outside of this Dallas Cowboys-Detroit Lions kerfuffle. Where are we starting this morning?
Well, speaking of Detroit, I'd actually like to cede my time to the gentleman from Michigan, Javonte Lawrence. Javonte.
Time for the most exciting Pistons fan in the entire NBA to tell you what he saw last night. It's Javonte's Detroit Pistons second. So, Javonte, what happened?
It is finally over. For the first time since October, the Pistons have won.
They did it! 29, 2-29 at this point, 2-30 or 3-29. So they beat the Toronto Raptors on Saturday, and they can thank the Detroit Lions for overshadowing their win that they had, breaking that 2.5-month losing streak. So they have the longest losing streak in NBA history, tied with the Philadelphia 76ers, which spanned two seasons from 14 to the 2015-16 season. Javonte, did you go out and celebrate this moment?
I did not. Unfortunately, I couldn't go get a free Wingstop like the rest of my people in Michigan. Very disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, Wingstop had, for people who don't know, Wingstop gave like 5 free wings when the Pistons win. I would think, Javonte, did the whole state of Michigan go to Wingstop for that?
I think so. I believe even like Jalen Durant, like he put out an Instagram story like, Wingstop are coming for my wings. So probably like everybody. It's probably the worst day ever for Wingstop.
Dude, that's the best promotion of all time because people everywhere, Courtney, including me in Kentucky, I heard about it because it was so unused. So go Michigan, get all your wings, because I don't know if Detroit's going to win again for a while.
And maybe I'm being selfish here, but I'm like, 5 wings, that's all you get? I mean, I know it gets you in the door and then hopefully you
exactly.
end up buying more, but I don't know.
As someone who has a place
wings?
Where you buy wings, Courtney, you give them 5, then they buy 5 more and you got something going. So okay. I actually think it was very smart of Wingstop.
It's a marketing ploy that was created by people much smarter than me in that department. Javonte, I'm sorry, though, that the Pistons winning came at the cost of the Lions losing. It doesn't seem like Detroit can have nice things more than one time or two things at a consecutive time. But that's true. They won. That losing streak is over. I don't know if your Detroit Pistons second is going to end up going away now or if you're just going to keep.
Sadly, it probably is.
You're going to keep your
Talked
eye
about
on
Detroit
this,
Pistons way more than I expected to when the show started.
Yeah, that is
it was
true.
A good run.
Well, it's a good run. You didn't think it was going to be that long, did you, Javonte?
I did not. Like, when we came up with this idea, I'm like, oh, because we came up with, like, I think with, like, 20 games. I'm like, oh, we probably jinxed it, and now they're probably going to win. And that did not happen. It lasted probably about 2 weeks.
Gosh, you could have gotten 2 months out of airtime from this segment if you would have started it around Halloween.
Yeah,
when they
were
last
predicted that
the
they
Bulls.
Were going that long of a loser streak.
That's true. And they were also predicted not to have a good chance to win a game until they faced the San Antonio Spurs on January 10th, but they ended up getting it done before the clock struck midnight on 2023. They beat the Toronto Raptors on Saturday and break that 29-game losing streak, the worst in the NBA. All right, Pat, what's grinding your gears?
The Eagles are such frauds, and I don't know how they've managed 11 wins. It actually boggles my mind. This is so far from a team that can win a Super Bowl, it's crazy. And they're so poorly coached that it's so frustrating to watch.
Aren't you an Eagle? You're an Eagles fan, though, right?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I mean, didn't I hear in the intro you saying that Jalen Hurts deserved no criticism?
I think that was earlier in the season.
Might be some older production.
Okay, but I'm just saying that production. I mean, like you used to whine about exactly what you're doing right now.
But
Pat,
I don't put anything that happened yesterday. Not there's a little bit of blame that goes Jalen Hurts' way, but yesterday was not a Jalen Hurts problem.
Who do you blame?
The defense and the coaching.
Okay. So that's a Nick Sirianni issue then, because you're saying he made the call to move Sean Desai out of the role as defensive play caller, put Matt Patricia, of all people, into that role, and you haven't seen the improvement that you want. Like to me, yesterday exposed the losses that they had at the coordinator position. Shane Steichen goes to Indianapolis, their former OC. Jonathan Gannon, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, who came into Philly and beat them, was their former DC. they never filled those voids. Like, did you honestly expect that they were going to be a better team this year, having lost two of their major offensive and defensive minds?
I mean, it started out so strong, it just fell apart.
I did a show with you earlier this year, and you said, because I was bringing up the Super Bowl loser curse, Pat, I think, where I said, you know, there hasn't been a Super Bowl loser make the Super Bowl once in the last 25 years, and you said that streak was breaking this year. Would you like to apologize to me now?
No, I would not. I will never apologize to you.
Sound like an NFL official.
So you're like, exactly, you're like the NFL, Pat the NFL Costello, right?
Correct. Send the pool reporter.
You won't be getting a 2-minute report from Pat anytime soon. All right, what's next?
People have loud cars just to have loud cars. There's a guy that lives in my neighborhood who just sits on his street and revs his engine super loud for absolutely no reason. Everyone thinks you're a loser because you are one.
Yeah, should be in Kentucky, Pat. If you think that happens a lot in Connecticut, in Kentucky, it's like a way of life. You just that you rev your car everywhere, all times.
It's like the people who have those, like, purposely loud mufflers.
Yeah.
Does it make you sound cool? Like, is that supposed to be a status symbol? I don't understand it.
In Kentucky, grandmothers rev their car, Pat. You don't need to you don't want to come down here, I don't think.
All right, one more?
Yeah, one more real quick. SEC fans taking a victory lap today?
Yes.
Over FSU and Ohio State losing? Like, relax. They're not that impressive of wins.
Now, first of all, I'm an SEC fan, and I will take a victory lap. I think the 8th and 9th best teams in the SEC are as good as the top teams in the ACC. And Courtney, 63-3.
Or even the Big Ten,
too. Michigan and Ohio State, I'll accept from that. But everyone else, the rest of the country does not play SEC football, Courtney, and we saw it this weekend.
And we will get back into the CFP conversation, the semifinal games coming your way later today. Our coverage beginning 12:30 p.m. Eastern time right here on ESPN Radio. But the phones are open, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Help us solve the NFL's officiating problem, because it's very clear the league's not going to do anything about it itself. That's coming up next, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.